My grandmother had a green thumb, as they say, and her passion was not so much trees and flowers, but vegetables. She loved to grow vegetables. She would grow the biggest tomatoes you'd ever seen. She lived her whole life in, she was born in Missouri, but lived out most of her life in Kansas, and the hot summer sun and those tomatoes and bushelfuls of green beans and enormous heads of lettuce and piles of potatoes. She could grow anything like that. When I was a kid, she had a large garden way at the back of her property, probably a half acre, and rows of corn and all these vegetables growing, all good things growing all summer long. But then when she got older, she didn't want to go that far, and the garden was too big for her to take care of. So she started a new garden nearer to the house, and a little bit smaller in size, but still very productive. Now, I said she had a green thumb, and I don't know what that means in your mind, but it wasn't that she just magically grew these vegetables. It wasn't luck. It was hard work. And she knew what she was doing, and she knew when to plant things and when to water and how to tear out all the weeds, even out in the hot sun. And it took hard work, but she grew these wonderful, wonderful vegetables. Now, what was interesting is that old garden plot, the large one at the back of the property, as soon as she stopped working it and cultivating it, it turned back into a field. And instead of tomatoes and corn and green beans, weeds and grasses and whatever happened to fall there grew there. And that's how nature works. You see, to grow a garden, it takes hard work and planning and persistence and dedication to cultivate that land into something good and productive. But then if you stop working at it, nature takes back over and it turns back into a wild field that can be good in its own way, if that's what you want, but it doesn't grow the nice things that you had planted before. For the next 2 weeks, we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit and the Spirit's work in our lives. And this morning, we're going to talk about how the Spirit helps us grow good fruit in our lives. If we allow our natural soil to grow in our lives, what grows isn't always good. But if we allow the Holy Spirit to come and cultivate our hearts, then the Spirit can grow good things in us. So listen to what Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 5 as he talks about the natural things that grow in our lives and then what the Spirit can help us grow. Galatians chapter 5, beginning at verse 16. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Years ago, the first church I served, I preached on this passage, and I entitled that sermon, "If I Were a Tree, Would You Eat My Fruit?" And I guess I'm not as creative as I used to be. Today it's just led by the Spirit, so a little boring with the title, sorry about that. But you get the point. What kind of fruit is growing in your life? What kind of fruit? Is it the fruit of your wild, selfish, sinful nature? Or is it the good, cultivated fruit that the Spirit enables you to grow? Of course, these days people like their food to be organic, right? You go to the store and you may pay twice as much, but people love the organic stuff or the free-range food, free-range, whatever that means. People like their food to be as natural as it can be, which sounds nice, right? But good fruit has to be cultivated. It does take hard work instead of just letting nature run its course. That's especially true when it comes to the human heart. Organic, natural fruit that grows in our lives is actually not that tasty and not good for us or for the people around us. And the reality is that free-range humans do some pretty ugly things. That's why the Holy Spirit invites us to follow after Him, and why the Spirit comes into our lives, and if we allow Him to work, will change us, will make the soil of our hearts good soil, will tear out the weeds, will allow those good, fruitful, productive things to grow, so that what comes out of our mouths and out of our bodies and out of our lives and even the thoughts that run through our minds will become good Christ-like things. It's like taking a field full of weeds and turning it into that productive, beautiful, fruitful garden. You see, the Spirit helps us grow attitudes and actions that reflect the goodness of God, and that ultimately make us more like Jesus, which is the end result, the goal that our lives are supposed to be pursuing, to become more like Jesus. And we need the Spirit to help us to become more like Jesus. You see, the fruit of the Spirit is about thinking and speaking and treating other people in good and loving ways, like how God treats us, and how Jesus lived His life. The Spirit helps us to become more like Jesus. That is what the fruit of the Spirit is. I've officiated at several weddings. We've got a wedding coming up in just about a month. Brooke Bamberger is going to be married here. Now, in her case, she met her future husband the old-fashioned way, like in person. But I've done several weddings where people meet online, and you see commercials, and I don't know, maybe there's some even here this morning, you met your spouse online. Now, I don't know what those online dating profiles look like. That was long before my time even. But imagine you were looking for your spouse, and you go online, and you sign into one of those websites, and you read a description of this person who you may go out on a date with, and they say of themselves, "I am loving, joyful, peaceful, kind, good, and gentle." And your reaction to that is, yeah, right. You don't believe everything you read online, right? Nobody's that good. Too good to be true. But of course, isn't that what you would want in a friend, in a spouse? Isn't that what you'd want your kids to be like? Isn't that what you'd want your parents to be like, your siblings, certainly your spouse? Isn't that what you want your neighbors to be like? Good, kind, loving, joyful, peaceful. You see, the Spirit helps us to become the best possible person that we can be. And best according to what God says is right and good. Best according to who God is, so that we become more like Him rather than becoming more like the world or more like our natural desires may want us to be. The Spirit helps us to become the person who can best reflect God's goodness. But then we're confronted with the hard reality of the human heart. You see, the growing fruit of the Spirit doesn't come naturally for us. It's not something that we just do because of how we are, just the way we're born. Which is why we don't believe that online dating profile, right? Anybody who says they're perfect, maybe that's their ambition. Maybe they would like to be perfect, and we hold up that standard of the Spirit of fruit and say, that's how I would like to be, that's how I would like everyone else to be. But none of us achieves that perfection in this life. Instead, we work toward it. And it isn't us who does that work, it's the Spirit working in us. And so left to our own devices, left to our own natures, we don't grow fruit of the Spirit. You see, there's a conflict inside each of us. And this conflict is between our sinful nature, that natural part of who we are, and the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. There's this battle going on for the control over your heart. And here's how Paul says it again in verse 17. For the flesh, that is our sinful nature, desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other. And that's a conflict that's happening inside of your heart. Now we need to understand that Paul did not write these words out to the world in general. He wrote this to believers. He wrote it to the church. You see, what he's talking about here is not good Christians versus bad unbelievers. What he's talking about is what happens inside of your own heart. Even as a follower of Jesus, what happens inside of my heart? That there is this sinful nature inside of each of us that wants to go one direction, and the Holy Spirit comes along and says, no, you need to follow Jesus instead. And so there's that conflict. And if we follow our own desires, or as the world would say, follow your heart, have anything your heart desires, it's not going to turn out well. But if instead we desire and follow the Spirit, then we begin to see the good fruit grow in our lives. This battle for your heart, this battle over the control of your life, begins the very moment you invite Jesus into your life. You see, before we have Jesus in our lives, we're of course just following what our hearts desire, our sinful nature. We don't know any better. And you look at people around us who don't yet know Jesus, and you think, why do they live such hard lives? Why do they make such bad decisions? Why do they do things that God doesn't want them to do? Well, because they don't know any better. And that is simply our sinful nature before we meet Jesus. But when we invite Jesus into our lives, the Spirit comes and begins to clean up our hearts and begins to cultivate that soil and begins to pull out the weeds. And if we allow the Spirit, and we do have to allow the Spirit to work, then the Spirit can begin to produce good things in place of those bad things. And that means we have to listen to the Spirit's voice. It means we need to go where the Spirit leads. It means we have to choose to follow God instead of following the ways of the world. And none of that is easy. But we trust that the Spirit will encourage us and motivate us and enable us to grow that good fruit. You see, left on our own without the Spirit, all types of other fruit is going to grow in our lives. And you look around at the world today, and you see the effect of the sinful nature of humans. Now, to be fair, the church is not perfect, and I'm looking out at a room of people who are not perfect. And you're looking at someone who does bad things. We have not been perfected. The Spirit is working in us. And hopefully we understand when we do something wrong and we repent and we turn back and try to do better the next time. But you see the effects of sin all throughout this world. In our culture today, the highest moral standard, and the reality is our culture says, well, there is no truth anymore. There is no right and wrong anymore. And so instead, what has replaced God's Word, what has replaced traditional morality, in our culture today is one overriding principle that in essence says this: do whatever you want so long as you don't interfere with someone else's ability to do whatever they want. And as you watch the news and as you see how people live their lives today, see if that principle holds true. Do whatever you want. Just don't interfere with someone else's ability to do whatever they want. Which is interesting that Paul writes at the end of verse 17. He says, so that you are not to do whatever you want. As the Spirit works in our lives, the Spirit helps us to see that the things that we naturally want, the selfish desires of our hearts, are not good for us. And they're not good for the world around us. And so our culture says, oh, do whatever you want. That's the ultimate fulfillment of human destiny. That's freedom. And yet we see the results of that in the brokenness of the world around us. Broken lives and broken nations and brokenness everywhere. You see, life without the Spirit, life without moral authority, life without God's good judgments, life without right and wrong leads to the world that we see around us. And I know some people say, oh, we're moving toward utopia. I can do whatever I want. Sounds great. But if we're honest about human nature, and again, this comes to people in the church, if we're honest about who we are deep down inside, we know that what we want isn't always good. We know that deep down we're selfish. And we're filled with desires that will ultimately hurt other people and hurt ourselves. And so the truth is that without the Spirit, we grow poisonous fruit. Left on our own, what grows in our lives is poisonous. Paul describes in verses 19 through 21, he describes five types of poisonous fruit. And there's a long list, but you can kind of put them into five categories. Sexual immorality, false spirituality, worshiping or honoring gods other than the true God, hatred, taking out your own desires on other people, selfishness, and addictive self-gratification. And you could probably put just about every bad thing that people do in the world into one of those five categories. And again, bad things that we do. And I won't ask for a raise of hands of which of those is your greatest temptation. But you see, these types of fruit grow naturally in our lives, and they're poisonous. They dishonor God, they hurt other people, they hurt ourselves, and ultimately they lead to death. Physical death, emotional death, and finally spiritual death. Which is why Jesus calls us to be led instead by the Spirit. Because you see, with the Spirit we can grow healthy fruit, good fruit. And I hope even as we read the words in this passage we can see the difference between the poisonous fruit and the healthy fruit. Listen again, the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You see, the fruit of the Spirit is clean and good and right. The fruit of the Spirit gives life to others. The fruit of the Spirit builds other people up. The fruit of the Spirit is good for us and it's good for the people around us. I think you can divide these into two categories. There is inner fruit, what grows inside of us, and there's also outward fruit that we can share with other people. And so the inward fruit is joy, peace, patience, faithfulness, self-control. As the Spirit changes us on the inside, our character, who we are, And I believe, and maybe this is an old-fashioned notion, I believe that to be a truly good person, you have to be good on the inside. In other words, you can't just act nice to other people, but then on the inside be thinking negative things about them. You can't just do a few nice things, but then turn around and criticize people behind their backs. If you're going to be a good person that the Spirit is working to transform, that's going to begin on the inside. It's going to begin with the Spirit changing your heart and your motivations and your character. And then as that changes, it begins to then reach outward in how you speak and how you treat other people. And so then you've got this outward fruit, love, kindness, goodness, gentleness, how we treat people in ways that show them who Jesus is. And so they can actually see and hear and feel God's goodness working through us. Compassion, generosity. So how do you grow this good fruit? Again, it doesn't come naturally. It doesn't come from inside. It takes humble obedience to the Holy Spirit. Back to my grandmother with her garden. It takes hard work. It's the Spirit's work, certainly, but it also takes us joining with the Spirit, allowing the Spirit to do that hard work. It takes the discipline of saying no to those parts of our lives that that may lead us in directions that are not good. It takes saying no to temptation. It takes saying, I'm going to choose the best possible way to live rather than the easiest possible way to live. It means reading God's Word and allowing the Spirit to speak into our hearts so that we not only read the Word, but it sinks down into our hearts. It takes allowing God's will to form our prayer life. Jesus taught us pray that God's will would be done, and we kind of skip over that and we go right back to our own selfish desires. God, give me this. God, give me that. And somehow we need to get back to saying, God, I want your will to be done, which is a Spirit-led prayer, because we begin to see that God's will is, in fact, what's best for us and for the people around us. It means we need to listen to the wisdom of other believers. As you gather with your church family, there are people here who the Spirit may use to speak into your life, to fill you with that wisdom that you may not find inside yourself, but maybe someone else will say, I think God is leading you in this direction. And the Spirit may speak through their wisdom. Paul writes in verse 25 that we are to keep in step with the Spirit, which means as the Spirit leads, we follow closely behind. And we go where the Spirit takes us. So after all of this, as you look at your life honestly, what type of fruit do you see growing there? And if there are parts of your life where you see that poisonous fruit of your selfish desires, then you need to start praying that the Spirit will help you to pull that out. Cut that off. Get rid of that part of your life. So that then you can begin cultivating and providing more space for that good, wholesome, healthy fruit to grow. Because with the Spirit's help, we can grow that good fruit that nourishes, that makes other people's lives better, that makes our lives better. That fruit that gives life. With the Spirit's help, we can grow that fruit that shows the world around us who Jesus is. And that's certainly what God desires to be growing in our lives. So let's ask the Spirit to help us. Let's seek after God's goodness. Let me invite you to bow your heads, and we'll ask God that right now. Father, we thank you for your word that encourages us and for this challenge to invite the Spirit to be at work in our hearts, not to be satisfied with following our own desires, but to allow the Spirit to come and change us, to transform us. And so, Father, we invite the Spirit. We invite you to come and work, to cultivate us, to weed out our sinful, selfish desires. We invite the Spirit to come and transform us so that we can be the people that You want us to be, the best possible people that we can be, who love and are filled with joy and peace, and people who are gentle and good and kind. And Lord, we pray that as the Spirit works in our lives, that fruit would be shared with others so that they can also taste the good things that You're doing in our lives and be drawn to You through what they see Your Spirit doing in us. Lord, we thank You for Your grace. And we pray that You'd watch over all that we do now. In Jesus' name, amen.